from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news. This is Ania Sana with the news. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo says improving infrastructure for Indonesia golden 2045. Business opportunities in Egypt for spare parts of vehicles and electronic goods. And now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo says that to head towards golden Indonesia in 2045, there are several steps to be passed, and these steps should be taken from now, so Indonesia could be a part of Big Five of the world economy. He said in Majalengka, West Java on Thursday, May 24th, that the first step to golden Indonesia is the economic sector, improving the infrastructure so that Indonesia could compete with other countries. He also explained that Indonesia as a big country should be able to utilize its resources, either natural resources or human resources. Therefore, to improve the economy, the government's focus is to build the infrastructure. Besides infrastructure problem, he added the next step is human resources investment. He reasoned that with the human resource investment, the country could move forward. He said that the second stage is by investing on human resources, like upgrading all the young people's skill, whether in university, engineering, or other sectors. Following the success of Indomie in building factories in Egypt, a number of Indonesian entrepreneurs are now starting to explore investment in Egypt. Trade attaché of Indonesian embassy in Cairo, Burman Rahman, said that Indomie is very successful and becomes a major player in the packaging noodle business in Egypt. The success has been followed by a number of Indonesian business people by establishing factories in Egypt. They are wafer, tire and household goods companies, especially Nabati Wafer Company, which is currently waiting for the construction of the factory because it has found local Egyptian partner and the location of the factory. In addition to these four companies, there are a number of business opportunities that can be filled by Indonesian business people in Egypt, including spare parts of vehicles and electronic goods. Like a tire factory, it is very profitable here in Egypt. If there is a factory of automobile spare parts, electronics, and household necessities, it is very promising here in Egypt. Now, PT Nabati is exploring it. General Manager of Indomie in Egypt, Gunawan Haryanto, told RRI in Cairo on Thursday, May the 24th, that Egypt is very potential for Indonesian entrepreneurs to invest. In addition to good economic growth, large population and stable politics, Egypt becomes the gateway to market Indonesian products to Europe, Africa and Middle East countries. Indonesia and Jordan have developed complementary relationships in economic sector. This was stated by Jordanian Ambassador to Indonesia, Walid Al-Hadid, in a special interview with RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia recently, in conjunction with the commemoration of Jordan's Independence Day on May 25th. Ambassador Hadid said that on one hand, Jordan exports various products not owned by Indonesia, and on the other hand, it imports products not produced by Jordan. To enhance economic cooperation between the two countries, Ambassador Walid Al-Hadid invites Indonesian investors to invest in his country.
I here invite Indonesian investors to come to Jordan, invest in Jordan, have a mutual cooperation with their counterparts, to consider Jordan as their launching pad to Europe, to North Africa and Africa in general, to Gulf states and to the world in general. Energy is open in Jordan. Water sector is open. Tourism sector is open for investment. IT sector, industrial sectors. And this is why we divided the country into several development zones.
Ambassador Walid Al-Hadid further stated that in 2016, Indonesia and Jordan trade volume reached almost $260 million. He believes that both countries have the potential to double their number or even triple in the coming years. He also remarked that to achieve this, Indonesia and Jordan launched a business council last year, and this will serve as a vehicle to boost investment from both countries. This news comes to you over RRL Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian Defense Minister Ria Mizar Yakudu said that Australia is not a threat to Indonesia and Indonesia is not a threat to Australia. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Indonesia continues to maintain good relations with neighboring countries so that emerging issues are resolved peacefully without posing conflicts such as those occurring in the South China Sea. This was stated by Minister Ria Mizar Yakudu when giving briefings to officers of Indonesian Armed Forces TNI and Indonesian Police Polri in Jayapura on Thursday, May the 24th. To ensure that Indonesia is not a threat to Australia, Indonesian Defense Ministry has sent a white paper to Australia in a bid to understand Indonesia. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi met her counterpart, Peruvian Foreign Minister Nestor Francisco Popolizio Bordales, to discuss bilateral cooperation between the two countries. Press release from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta on Thursday, May 24, reported that the working visit of the Minister Retno to Lima, Peru, was the first official bilateral visit since the opening of diplomatic relations between the two countries in 1975. Antara reported that in the bilateral meeting, Minister Retno pointed out that Peru is an important market for Indonesia and the economic cooperation between the two countries has not yet reflected the real potential. Peru is the fourth largest trading partner for Indonesia in the South Africa, in the South America region. To boost trade cooperation, both ministers agree on the importance of trade agreements between the two countries. In addition, Minister Retno also emphasized the importance of working harder to enhance interaction and both countries' entrepreneurs and to diversity products. And the last item, the Embassy of the Republic of Indonesia in Bratislava, in cooperation with the Asian Institute of Studies in Bratislava, held a seminar entitled De-Radicalization of Terrorism in Indonesia by presenting a key speaker of the Regional and Multilateral Cooperation Director of the National Agency for Counterterrorism, Andika Krishna Yudanto. Counselor of Social and Cultural Affairs of Indonesian Embassy in Bratislava, Lely Meliani, told Antara News Agency London on Thursday, May 24th, that the seminar was held on the sidelines of the delegation of National Agency for Combating Terrorism to participate in the Global Security Bratislava 2018 Forum. Andika Krishna Yudanto pointed out that no country in the world is immune from the problem of terrorism, including Indonesia. Thus, Indonesia pursues to take various steps to counter terrorism, including de-radicalization for imprisoned terrorists, individuals or groups related to terrorists, families of imprisoned terrorists, or those who are no longer terrorists. And listener, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian President Joko Widodo says improving infrastructure for Indonesia Golden 2045. Business opportunities in Egypt for spare parts of vehicles and electronic goods. And listeners, that was the news from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is United States-North Korea Planned Meeting Cancelled. The planned meeting between U.S. President Donald Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un in Singapore in June has been cancelled and it was colored with tension and uncertainty. However, North Korea has shown its seriousness to close the Punggye-ri nuclear site in North Hamgyong province. So seriously, North Korea blew up three tunnels and supporting devices that international media journalists witnessed on Thursday. A journalist who was present said that the explosion was seen in three tunnels and could be spotted from close observation around 500 meters away. The presence of international media journalists at Punggye-ri nuclear sites has been reported by South Korean news agency Yonhap. Some journalists of South Korea, the United States, China, Russia, and England were present last Tuesday. Yonhap also mentioned that North Korea will destroy underground tunnels and other facilities on the site. The presence of international media journalists at Punggye-ri nuclear site has been reported by South Korean news agency Yonhap. Some journalists of South Korea and the United States, China, Russia, and England were present last Tuesday. Yonhap also mentioned that North Korea will destroy underground tunnels and other facilities on the site. But the tension still happened because North Korea had threatened to stop the dialogue when it was alleged the United States and South Korea launched a military exercise. Might Pompeo's mission to keep inviting North Korea to the next stage seems to succeed after North Korea wanted to destroy its nuclear facilities. The destruction was conducted by North Korea after U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo met North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. The meeting itself took place in a friendly atmosphere, but in the midst of a less conducive atmosphere, U.S. Vice President Mike Pence make a statement to the media on Monday that could have damaged what Pompeo has been trying to do. The United States pledged to help North Korea and not overthrow North Korean regime if North Korea would stop its nuclear program. President Trump then issued a statement through Twitter that sadly, President Donald Trump was forced to cancel the 4-eye meeting with leader Kim Jong-un in Singapore. We certainly hope that even though the planned meeting between U.S. President Donald Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un in Singapore next June was canceled, goodwill towards peace that has begun to grow should be followed next. We encourage that there should be a meeting which is based on mutual trust. If the issue on the Korean Peninsula is over, there are still problems in other regions around the world that must also be dealt with. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. We start from an event of Ismail Marzuki passed away on May 25, 1958. Ismail Marzuki is one of the great composers of Indonesia. Ismail Marzuki died on May 25, 1958. His name is currently immortalized as an art center in Jakarta, namely Taman Ismail Marzuki or TIM, located in Salemba, Central Jakarta. Ismail Marzuki made his musical debut at the age of 17 when he firstly composed the song O Sarina in 1931. During the Japanese occupation, Ismail Marzuki was active in a radio orchestra, Hozo Kanri Keiku, of the Japanese military radio. When the Japanese occupation ended, Ismail Marzuki continued to broadcast his music on RRE, but when RRE was reoccupied by the Dutch in 1947, Ismail Marzuki did not cooperate with the Dutch and decided to leave RRE. Ismail Marzuki also composed the general election song and was firstly played in the 1955 elections. Moreover, Ismail Marzuki awarded a tribute in 1968 with the opening of Taman Ismail Marzuki, a park and cultural center located in Salemba Center, Jakarta. He got the title of the Indonesian National Hero in 2004. Coming up next, an event about the establishment of Africa Unity Organization on May 25, 1963. On May 25, 1963, a number of African leaders signed the establishment of Africa Unity Organizations in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. The initiators of the Organization of African Unity are Gamal Abdel Nasser from Egypt, Kwame Nkrumah from Ghana, and Ahmad Sekou Touré from Guinea. The establishment of the organization was aimed to unite African countries, resolve disputes among member countries, and fighting for the independence of African countries. In 2002, in the Conference of African Head of States in South Africa, the organization changed its name to African Union, which was aimed to expand economic cooperation in Africa. Currently, the African Union consists of 53 countries and headquartered in Ethiopia. Now we end today's segment of Today in History with the tragedy of American Airlines plane. McDonnell Douglas DC-10-10 crashed in Chicago, Illinois, the United States. An American Airlines McDonnell Douglas DC-10-10 crashed at a residence complex of Chicago, Illinois, the United States, shortly before takeoff from the O'Hare International Airport on May 25, 1979. The plane was en route from Chicago to Los Angeles and was preparing to take off. The accident caused damage to the engine plane, killed all 273 passengers, including 13 crew and 2 people on land. The accident becomes the biggest plane crash in the U.S. history. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Indonesia in Economy, International Politics, Sports, Environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Welcome to My Indonesia. Today we'll bring you a topic about Indonesia-Argentina support enhancement of economic cooperation. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi met with Foreign Minister of Argentina, Jorge Faure, to discuss effort of bilateral cooperation improvement, especially cooperation in economy and social culture of the two countries. The bilateral meeting was held in Palacio San Martin, Buenos Aires, Argentina, on May 22, 2018, as to end working visit of Minister Retno Marsudi in Argentina. Press release of Foreign Minister in Jakarta on Wednesday, May 23, said, during the meeting, Minister Retno Marsudi conveyed that Argentina is the second biggest trade partner of Indonesia in South America region, with trade values of $1.42 billion in 2017. Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi emphasized that the figure does not reflect the potential of trade relations between the two countries that still widely open. Therefore, the Indonesian government encourages Argentina to reduce and eliminate tariff on and non-tariff barriers for Indonesian products in the Argentine markets. In particular, the minister noted that high tariffs or import duties for Indonesian palm oil products to Argentina and Mercosur member countries, the South American Trade Group. So that Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi asked Argentina to discuss tariff issues for Indonesian crude palm oil CPO products with Mercosur. He explained palm oil is an important commodity for the Indonesian economy. Indonesia hopes the tariffs for palm oil products of Mercosur and Argentina can be lowered. In addition to encourage access to palm oil markets, Minister Retno also expressed great potential to diversify products in the trade of both countries. In addition to consumer products such as footwear, clothes and electronics equipment, Indonesia also has advanced strategic industry. Indonesia hopes that Argentina interested to buy a variety of strategic industrial products from Indonesia. In addition to trade issues, the two foreign ministers also discussed the importance of inter-community relations so that they understand the benefits of the relationship between the two countries. Related to the issue, Minister Retno Marsudi stressed the need to improve inter-society and inter-business relations between Indonesia and Argentina. Therefore, Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi requested that Argentina to facilitate the granting of visas for Indonesian citizens who want to visit the country. That was My Indonesia.
This is Ania Sana with News in Brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo says that no head towards Golden Indonesia in 2045, there are several steps to be passed, and these steps should be taken from now, so Indonesia could be a part of Big Five of the world economy. He said in Majalengka, West Java on Thursday, May 24th, that the first step to Golden Indonesia is the economic sector, improving the infrastructure so that Indonesia could compete with other countries. Following the success of Indomie in building factories in Egypt, a number of Indonesian entrepreneurs are now starting to explore investment in Egypt. Trade attaché of Indonesian Embassy in Cairo, Burman Rahman, said that Indomie is very successful and becomes a major player in the packaging noodle business in Egypt. Indonesia and Jordan have developed complementary relationships in economic sector. This was stated by Jordanian Ambassador to Indonesia, Walid Al-Hadid, in a special interview with RRW Service Voice of Indonesia recently, in conjunction with the commemoration of Jordan's Independence Day on May the 25th. Indonesian Defense Minister Riamizat Riyakudu said that Australia is not a threat to Indonesia and Indonesia is not a threat to Australia. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Indonesia continues to maintain good relations with neighboring countries so that emerging issues are resolved peacefully without posing conflicts such as those occurring in the South China Sea. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi met her counterpart, Peruvian Foreign Minister Nestor Francisco Popolizio Bardales, to discuss bilateral cooperation between the two countries. And the last item, the Embassy of the Republic of Indonesia in Bratislava, in cooperation with the Asian Institute of Studies in Bratislava, held a seminar entitled The Radicalization of Terrorism in Indonesia by presenting a key speaker of the Regional and Multilateral Cooperation Director of the National Agency for Counterterrorism, Andika Krishna Yudanto. And listeners, that was News in Brief. Thanks for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's sound.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Teluk Gurita Beach in Attambua. Stay tuned. Teluk Gurita Beach is located in Kakuluk Masak sub-district, about 18 km from Attambua to the northwest, and the journey can be reached within 30 minutes. The beach has been used as a natural harbor since the ancestors' era. The beach has clear seawater, white sand and wavy column, combined with green hills surrounded. Teluk Gurita Beach, which is also called Kuit Namon, actually becomes paradise for those who have fishing hobby. You can do fishing activities around the bay, or using a boat for fishing in Kongkas Lake that directly connect to Teluk Gurita Beach. Listener, behind the beautiful natural beauty, Teluk Gurita also has history. Formerly, the place, also called Kuit Namon, is a natural harbor for trade activities. Most of the traders came from Asia and Europe, which aims to find sandalwood and candles. One day, a merchant ship from Spain came to the port for trade. While in the transaction, suddenly the ship was wrapped by a giant octopus until the ship was finally drowned. Since at that time, the port then renamed into Teluk Gurita, the wreck of the sinking ship is still at the bottom of the bay until nowadays. If you go to Teluk Gurita, do not forget to taste the roasted corn and akar sembilan that are peddled by people living around the bay. You can get food at Tanjung Berluli restaurant, which is about 5 km distance from the beach. The restaurant provides seafood menu such as squid, crab, fish and shrimp. All of the menu are processed to be fried, roasted and sweet sauce food. In addition, there are also some kiosks selling souvenirs such as blue woven fabrics, sandalwood sculptures, and original honey that you can bring for souvenir from East Nusa Tenggara. In the vicinity of the Teluk Gurita tourist location, there is provided any lodgings. For those who want to explore the location, the visitors can stay in Attambua City. To reach the Teluk Gurita site from Attambua, you can use public transportation or motorcycle taxi. You have to rent public transportation service only 15,000 rupiah per person and 25,000 rupiah for motorcycle taxi. Listener, that was the segment of Indonesian Wonder for today with a topic about Teluk Gurita Beach in Attambua. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa. Thank you.
Mr. Lenny.
Mr. Lenny on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with Mr. Lenny. This edition will be on the syllabus Mangunstein from Hasanuddin University students. Stay tuned into RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia at 9525 kHz or www.voinews.id. Listener, you see that in Indonesia there are many dental and oral health problems in children. Low knowledge of the community, both the children themselves and their parents, make 4 students of Faculty of Dentistry at Hasanuddin University, UNHAS, in Makassar, South Sulawesi, think about making more interesting educational methods that can reach very small people effectively and efficiently. The 4 students, Mixaglia Ade Novianti, Nurfaisa Riandani, Muhammad Shah Isra, and Julian Marcel Nurwail, concluded that so far, the existing educational methods have been dominated by conventional methods such as lectures and posters. Listener, the idea of making an application game came to light, and the game is based on Android. Then the 4 students invited Albi, a student of engineering informatics of UNHAS. The 5 students showed that in the Play Store there are many games application about teeth and mouth that children love. However, the educational content is limited. Take for example games about pulling teeth or games about how to brush your teeth. Thus, the 5 students agreed to create a more complete game on a scientific basis. After doing through a series of research, they discover a game application called C. Mangunstein Syllabus. In addition to being an oral and dental health educational tool, the Mangunstein Syllabus is also a tool to introduce South Sulawesi with the adoption of a central figure named C. Baso. Hasanuddin University student-made game has 2 advantages compared with other similar games. First, C. Mangunstein Syllabus is the first educational game in Indonesia created on a scientific basis, and it is based on research. Second, this game has a feature called Security Parents Authorization. If this game is played by children, after 30 minutes, the game will be closed automatically. Why 30 minutes? Because, according to the authors, from the literature study they did, research shows that 30 minutes is the maximum time for children to face the screen mobile phone. Listener, in the event of the National Student Scientific Week 2017, the work of innovation does not get a medal. However, the students keep the spirit of developing and perfecting their innovative work, which has now become a game product. In July 2017, the game was officially featured on the Play Store. Now, the Mangunstein Syllabus game has been downloaded by over 1,000 users. At the ITEX 2018 event taking place in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, Maxilia and her co-college were floated with awards. At the World Young Inventors Exhibition Parallel Forum, the Mangunstein Syllabus team won a silver medal for the educational category. In addition, Maxia and her campus mates also received a special award from Taiwan's World Invention Intellectual Property Association, who also participated in the event. Listener, iText 2018 WYIE SAB is an annual event organized by MANS, Malaysian Invention and Design Society, since 1989. Each year, the event attracts various parties, universities, research institutes, industrial and private parties from Asia and Europe. Well, listener, that was Miss Lani for today with the topic The Mengunstein Syllabus of Hasanuddin University Student. We meet again on another occasion with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa. Bye-bye.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Nuka, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present the songs from the East Java region. Stay tuned with us at www.voinews.id. To begin our program for today, we are going to give you Keraben Sape by Umar Dhani.
Ngereng areng sareng padengo. sampai.
Listener, the song sung by Umar Dhani is unknown who composed it. This song tells about the tradition that is commonly done by Madura community, namely Keraban Sapi. Sape or Keraban Sapi or cow raising is a term for cow raising that originally comes from Madura, East Java. In ancient times, many tourists come to the Madura island to witness the Keraban Sapi, which is held annually. In this race, each cow that is contested is ridden by a small jockey to quickly reach the finish line. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Tanduk Majang. Listen to another East Java song entitled Tanduk Majang. This song is also the one from Madura people. Tanduk Majang means the pleasure of fishing. This song tells about the life of Madura people who live as fishermen. Life as fishermen is very hard because every time there is always anxiety about danger at sea. Although being dangerous and threatening, Madura fishermen still go to catch fish at sea for their family's life. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Ajar Kenalan and Ate Taresna. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, thank you for listening, and I'll see you on the next Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia. VOR. Today's sound.
Purnama ponomba angin ngalesan rasana duate kerong tade pada bila seta temua du edima se sarea ate taresna antos bertana se paste sare rasana satao dukuste bila pona pangki sarang seka tresna du senang tada pada salancangan tata pesaa mas ke asa are sama senepon dia semaha aku atese kapenco bila arah sara enga tengka kulina semacam ponomba angin ngalese rasana duate kerom tade pada bila seta temua du edima se sarea ate taresna antos bertana se paste sare rasana satao dukuste bila pon apangki sarang seka tresna du senang tada pada salancangan tatap pesaan saare sa malam batia polo mata rota ternonate on kabela senepo dia semaha aku se capento bila arang sara enga tengka kulina semacam
Voice of Indonesia Today's Sound.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.